When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to Unexplained Extra, with me, Richard MacLean Smith, where for the weeks in between episodes, we look at stories and ideas that, for one reason or other, didn't make it into the previous show. Last week's episode, A View from a Hill, took a look at the haunting tale of the infamous Cunion Ghost House in Ireland. As was mentioned briefly in the episode, it is said that author Sean Leslie, who wrote about the Cunion haunting in his 1956 book, Ghost Stories, did himself grow up in a haunted house. Castle Leslie and the surrounding estate, located in County Monaghan in the north of Ireland, has been owned by the Leslie family since the 1660s, although the current castle was built in 1870. Now a high-end hotel, the lavish, stately property has been home to a number of distinguished occupants over the years, some of which, it is alleged, have never truly left. When Sean Leslie's mother, Leonie, was approaching the end of her life, she spent much of her time bedridden in what was known as the Mauve Room. Shortly before she died, it is said that her nurse witnessed her conversing with an elderly woman who was assumed to be just a good friend of Leonie's. Later, after Leonie had died, the nurse was attending a memorial service at Leslie Castle when she recognised the elderly friend in a family painting. The woman was Lady Constance Leslie, Leonie's mother-in-law, who died 20 years before. A second ghost said to haunt the castle is that of Norman Leslie, Leonie's son and Sean Leslie's brother. A number of visitors claim to have seen an apparition fitting Norman's description in the room known ominously as the Red Room. It was there in 1914 that Leonie is said to have awoken suddenly to find her son standing next to her, despite the fact that he was overseas fighting in the First World War at the time. Leonie discovered shortly after that Norman had been killed in battle. As some might point out, it could be claimed that Leonie hadn't seen a ghost at all, but instead experienced what is referred to as a crisis apparition, a supposed momentary vision of a loved one that some believe can occur in a moment of extreme stress. This story put me in mind of a similar incident that is claimed to have taken place just over a decade later, early one morning, aboard a large steamship out somewhere off the coast of West Africa. In the early hours of March 14th, 1928, below deck of the Grand Ocean liner SS Barrabol, somewhere to the south of the Canary Islands. Squadron leader Rivers Old Meadow was fast asleep in his cabin. Also on board was Old Meadow's good friend and colleague, Colonel George Henderson. The former RAF pilots and veterans of the Great War were returning from South Africa after a six-month stint demonstrating the latest in aviation technology. It had just gone 2 a.m. when Old Meadow was startled awake by the sound of someone crashing into his room. Hurriedly switching on the light, he was bemused to find his friend Colonel Henderson standing before him in his pajamas with a look of shock on his face and in the grip of an obvious and distressing panic. "God, Rivers," he cried, "something ghastly has happened. Hinch has been in my cabin, eye patch and all. It was ghastly." He kept repeating over and over again, "Hendy, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got this woman with me, and I'm lost. I'm lost." And then he disappeared in front of my eyes, just completely disappeared. Old Meadow stared for a moment, trying to take it all in. Then, thinking the best course of action was to try and calm his friend down, poured Henderson a stiff drink. As Henderson sipped his whiskey, the pair tried to comprehend what had taken place. Hinch was their mutual friend and fellow former RAF pilot, Captain Raymond Hinchcliffe. The three of them were said to have formed a strong bond, having flown together during the Great War. The only problem being that Hinchcliffe wasn't on board the ship. Since they both knew Hinchcliffe to be flying commercial planes in Europe, they could only assume that Henderson's vision had been at best an especially lucid dream, or at worst, a portent of an imminent threat to their friend. As for the identity of the mysterious woman he apparently spoke of, they had absolutely no idea. Having eventually calmed down, Henderson returned to his cabin and did his best to get back to sleep. As it happened, Hinchcliffe wasn't in Europe at all, but was instead flying somewhere over the Atlantic while taking part in a record-breaking attempt to fly to America. It was 2 days later when the news reached all those on board the SS Barrabole that the plane Captain Hinchcliffe had been flying in was now missing over the Atlantic. The vision, it seemed, had been portentous after all. However, there was no mention of any woman on board with him, since Hinchcliffe had been attempting the journey alongside his good friend and co-pilot for the flight, Gordon Sinclair. Or so people thought.
Are you always taking care of your family? Do you often take care of others and not yourself? Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. You deserve it. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best, to feeling like yourself again. With Teladoc, you can speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video. Therapy appointments are available 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time. If you feel overwhelmed sometimes, maybe you feel stressed or anxious, depressed or lonely, or you might be struggling with a personal or family issue, Teladoc can help. Teladoc is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy to change counsellors if needed, for free. Teladoc Therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Elsie Mackay was born in 1893, the daughter of wealthy businessman James Mackay, who would go on to become the chairman of the Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, better known as P&O. After eloping with actor Dennis Wyndham in 1917, Elsie was said to have been disinherited by her family before embarking on a successful career as an actor in her own right, starring in a number of silent movies over the next few years. When the marriage ended abruptly in 1922, Elsie was welcomed back into the family, After which, with the help of her father, she embarked on a second career as an interior decorator, going on to design the interiors for a number of his company's vessels. Elsie's true passion, however, was flying. In the years since the end of the First World War, air flight and speed records had been rapidly tumbling as aviation technology continued to advance at an exponential rate. Elsie had followed them all with increasing excitement. In June 1919, John Alcock and Arthur Brown were the first to cross the Atlantic, followed by Portuguese aviators Gago Coutinho and Sacyura Cabral in 1922, who flew from Lisbon to Rio de Janeiro. 5 years later, Charles Lindbergh caught the public imagination with his extraordinary solo crossing from the United States to Europe. And before long, Elsie was dreaming of creating her own record to become the first woman to cross the Atlantic. Despite the reservations of her father, who worried about the dangers of such a venture, Elsie, who'd always ploughed her own furrow, began preparations in earnest, and by the end of 1927 had purchased a six-seater aircraft named the Endeavour to complete the trip. What she needed next was a co-pilot. Captain Raymond Hinchcliffe needed little convincing. Having lost an eye during an aerial dogfight toward the end of the war, the pilot, who'd become famous for his eye patch, was by the late 20s finding it harder and harder to judge his takeoff and landings. With Mackay offering not only the prize money for becoming the first woman to complete the Atlantic crossing, she also offered to insure his life for £10,000, close to £550,000 British pounds today. Enough for the 33-year-old Hinchcliffe to retire altogether and spend the rest of his time at home with his wife and children. Worried that her father might try to stop her, Elsie took pains to keep the trip secret from him and the press, even threatening to sue one prominent paper when they got wind of the planned adventure. In order to throw them off the scent, Hinchcliffe's friend, Gordon Sinclair, was asked to put his name forward as the official co-pilot on the flight plan. Sinclair even went as far as to stay at a hotel close to the airfield in which they would begin their flight on the night before they were due to leave. By then, Sinclair's involvement had been leaked to the press, and by the morning of the flight, a number of papers were heralding Hinchcliffe's attempted journey to New York, with Sinclair accompanying him as his co-pilot. Sinclair had even agreed to go into hiding until Hinchcliffe and Mackay had completed their journey. On the morning of Tuesday, March 13th, at RAF Cranwell Airfield in the east of England, Captain Hinchcliffe clambered into the cockpit of the Endeavour, and moments later, Elsie Mackay was smuggled on board without anyone noticing. A few minutes later, as a light snow began to fall, the pair were taking off into the sky as they embarked on their ambitious 3,500-mile journey across the Atlantic. At 1:30 p.m., Chief Lighthouse Keeper at Mizen Head on the southwest coast of Cork in Ireland looked up to see Mackay's six-seater monoplane shooting overhead toward America. Not long after, the crew on board a steamship out in the Atlantic en route from France also witnessed the Endeavour, by then heading on into increasingly stormy weather. Many hours later, roughly 3,000 kilometres away, the SS Barrabool was drawing closer to the Canary Islands when squadron leader Rivers Oldmeadow was shocked awake by the arrival of Colonel George Henderson in his cabin, claiming to have seen a vision of a deeply distressed Hinchcliffe. A 5,000-strong crowd waited at Michael Field in Long Island, Newfoundland, to welcome the safe arrival of Hinchcliffe and what they assumed to be his co-pilot, Gordon Sinclair. But the plane was never seen again. In December 1928, A wheel with a serial number traced back to Elsie Mackay's endeavour, washed ashore in Donegal, Northwest Ireland, the only part of her plane that was ever found. Or at least, that is how the story was told by writer John G. Fuller in his 1978 book, The Airmen Who Would Not Die, which drew largely on a letter that Fuller claimed to have found, written by Rivers Oldmeadow in 1961. Though there is no disputing the fate that befell Elsie Mackay and Captain Raymond Hinchcliffe, doubts were raised regarding the extraordinary claim of Henderson's supposed vision on the night of their disappearance. In 2018, Robert Chamran and Steve Hume, writing in the Journal of the Society for Psychical Research, exposed a number of holes in the story, not least of all that the SS Barrabol had not in fact set sail for England until mid-April of 1928, which would have put Henderson and Oldmeadow on board the vessel a good 2 weeks after Mackay and Hinchcliffe's disappearance had come to light. Though some have sought to excuse the inconsistency, that no one as yet has managed to uncover a copy of Oldmeadow's supposed 1961 letter describing the extraordinary event, has only helped to cast further doubt on the story.
Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast. Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best. Speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video anytime between 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time, 7 days a week. Teladoc therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.